This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton of Turnbuckle Trash. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking back at the year that was 2018. Now, this is kind of a clip show. It's one of those shows where we're going to go back to the podcast that we had starting in January of this year and some of the comments we made that were prophetic and some of them not so much about the world of professional wrestling. We're going to start off with January, February, and March of 2018. Let's get started with January. Now, coming up in January, we talk about Wrestle Kingdom, Global Force and Impact, the Royal Rumble, Heath Slater, and more. Zayn goes to Disneyland and gets a little too sweet. And we even talk a little bit about 205 Live. Let's get with it. The best of 2018 on Turnbuckle Trash.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
Now, I know you like New Japan Wrestling, so what did you see and what did you hear?
New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 12. It was awesome to see. The big match everyone was talking about was Alpha versus Omega. It lived up to the hype. I watched it twice. Say this, the torch has been passed from Chris Jericho to Kenny Omega. They both told a great story in the ring. The rest of the card was excellent. Cody Rhodes, he put on a heck of a show at Wrestle Kingdom 12. I just have one question for him. Who decided to blonde your hair like that?
And it just didn't even look like him when I first saw him with that bleach blonde hair.
Do you know who he really? He kind of looked like Dusty.
Yeah, he looked like a younger Dusty and also a better fit Dusty. You got to put that down there. So,
I mean, it makes him look like a stripper, a gay stripper, or something. I don't know. It's just I can't understand. That's good for him. But like I said, when he was Wrestle Kingdom 12, it was very interesting to see him and the Young Bucks together. And I'm not a big Young Bucks fan, so I don't really care for the team. It just, I don't know, too many super kicks in a row. What can you do?
Yeah, that's one of my problems with them. I mean, when they do this super kick party and they'll just devastate people. It looks like they're devastating them four or five times in a row, and then they get right back up. You know, when Shawn Michaels did the super kick, it was one and done, you know, and that was his finishing maneuver. A lot of people criticized the Young Bucks and some of the more acrobatic acts in professional wrestling doing more gymnastics in the ring than it is real grappling. So I understand where you're coming from.
That's what makes people happy now in professional wrestling. They want to see all these high-flying, let's do 50 cartwheels, let's do 50 super kicks, and let me chop you in the chest. But, yeah, it's okay. I mean, if that's what you like in wrestling, that's great. I like the old school just like you do. So two guys with a storyline, and let them hash it out in the ring. And
Global Force has just struggled. I mean, from I saw them start struggling, to me, was when Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan kind of took over there. I started seeing a lot of problems in that organization. I don't know if it's just...
I'm not a big Hogan fan. anymore. I'm not a big Eric Bischoff fan. After what they did to WCW, after a company, a billion-dollar company, goes down like that, and you decide, hey, what the heck, let's bring these two leeches in and see what they can do. No.
Well, my problem when they got over there, and this is just my opinion, was as soon as Hogan got there, it became an old boys network. It was like, oh, let's bring in the Nasty Boys. Let's bring in some of the ECW originals. And, it just didn't work. I mean,
well,
it just didn't work for me. I just didn't like it.
Who wants to see that? Nobody. They want the young talent, but that's what Hogan does. He goes in, he buries young talent, and he pushes himself. So, I don't know. If TNA is, hopefully this channel will work for him. I hope it does with the NWA. Let's see what Billy Corgan can do with the company. Maybe he might be able to help him. Do you like the Woken theme with Matt Hardy at all? Do you like it?
I think it was cleverly done because the lawsuits about the broken Matt Hardy. I think that if they'd have waited much longer, that by the time the lawsuits are all over with, that the gimmick would have been dead. It might even revitalize a little bit for Bray Wyatt with the Fireflies. And you and I both still say they need to bring in a female character as Sister Abigail. They just need to do that.
Well, the Sister Abigail is gone, and it's over with now because they had their chance to do it. They should have done it with ODB, or they should have done it with another female, or it could have been Paige. But y'all want to play around and say Sister Abigail is nothing but in Bray Wyatt's head, and he puts on female dresses and dance around and whatever. That's fine.
And then they couldn't even do the gimmick because of all the illness in the WWE at the time. Bray got sick, and that's when Roman Reigns got sick and all that. And then they couldn't even finish up that gimmick.
Nine matches in the Royal Rumble. Three of them were pre-show. The rest were main events, including the, of course, historic first ever Divas Royal Rumble, which probably outdid the men's Royal Rumble.
It was good.
It was really good. And those Divas looked...
Your wife's listening. Be quiet. Get your mind out of the gutter. Stop going bowling.
Listen, I tell her, unless she becomes a diva, she's got a long ways to go.
I will say this. Michelle McCool looked as good in the ring as she ever did when she was competing. And Molly Holly, excuse my French, looked hotter than I'd ever seen her. She was so good looking. I mean, my mouth just, blah.
Dave,
but I'm a happily married man.
Well, you're 60, so just stop, because you're grossing everybody out.
There are little blue pills, you know.
We'll be back in 5. I gotta go puke.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
All right, well, after spewing and cleaning it up, both the floor and myself, we're back.
I don't know how much.
Dave, watch what you say on the air. I was really grossed out and I had to step out.
I just said blue pills. That's all I did.
30-man Royal Rumble match for the world champion, or for a world championship match at WrestleMania 34.
30 men coming into the ring. Opened up.
Winner.
Opened up by none other than Aiden English singing beautifully with Rusev Day. It was the Rusev Rumble. It was, my friends, the Rusev Rumble on the road to Rusev Mania. Rusev was entrant number one on Rusev Day, and the crowd was chanting Rusev Day. Rusev Day. Awesome stuff.
You done?
No.
Rusev was your first contestant. He was not your winner.
He was not.
Surprise, surprise.
Rusev Day.
He was eliminated by Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. He did last, however, 30 minutes and 28 seconds in the ring. Your top 10 entrances go as in order. Rusev, Finn Balor, Rhino, Baron Corbin, Heath Slater, who really never made an official time for about the first 10 minutes of his match.
Oh, it was great.
Elias.
WWE, by the way, stands for Walking with Elias.
Oh, jeez. Bray Wyatt, Big E, Sami Zayn as your 10th contestant.
How about Heath Slater?
Yeah,
let's go back.
Okay.
Heath Slater, as he comes in, what, number?
He was number five.
Number five. And that was right after Baron Corbin got eliminated. And Corbin was beating up everybody, beat up Rusev. He bit up Finn Balor.
Yep.
He was beating up everybody. And as he's walking out, here comes Heath Slater in. He clotheslines Heath Slater.
Slater.
Knocks him out. Gee, it was so great.
Heath Slater did not make it in the ring for the first 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, every time somebody else would come in after Heath Slater, they would kick him, they would throw him down, until Sheamus comes out and takes Heath Slater and puts him into the ring, and then Heath Slater eliminates
Sheamus. Sheamus figures out very quickly why nobody allowed him into the ring. Sheamus comes in and lasts at an official time of 20 seconds.
I loved it. And by the way,
after Sheamus, Xavier Woods was in. Apollo Crews was in. At 14th, the entry was Shinsuke
Nakamura.
Cena actually lasted for quite a while.
Yeah,
until. And by the way, when he got eliminated by Shinsuke
Nakamura,
there was quite the eruption.
Yes. Because he was in the final four, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
With Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, Roman Reigns just took over at one point. He eliminated two superstars in a row, Titus and The Miz. The Miz lasted 5 minutes and 20 seconds. That's
surprising, yeah. But I did like the Miztourage getting involved.
At 27th was our surprise entry for the Men's Royal Rumble. None other than Mr. 619 himself, Rey Mysterio.
And boy, the house went crazy.
Sure did.
And Ray, who I got to meet in the past year, did great.
Yeah.
He did. I don't know if it was a one-time thing or what, but Rey Mysterio Jr. back in the WWE, at least for one night.
He's eliminated by Finn Balor, and he lasts 9 minutes and 39 seconds.
But did you notice that he got to do the 619, not just once, but he also did a double 619 on John Cena and Roman Reigns? Crowd loved that.
Roman Reigns, his reign ends, no pun intended.
That was, like, funny.
Shut up. Shinsuke Nakamura eliminates Roman Reigns. Now, by this time, Twitter is exploding.
Uh-huh.
Right? The Royal Rumble is, of course, trending at this point. Roman Reigns versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 50 first tweets of, holy crap, if you let Romans win this, we're going to kill somebody.
Yes.
Okay? My cat's going to die right here, right in front of my face. And then you had like three people. Roman Reigns better win or else this thing's really stupid.
Uh-huh.
And then you had another 75 tweets replying to that tweet. Well, you're stupid. And you don't know what you're talking about.
You're stupid.
Shinsuke better win.
You're a nerd.
No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
So, I'm just going to say Shinsuke. Attacked Reigns and attempted a, what is it, Kinshaw's, what is it called, his move? Kinshaw's?
A kick in the head?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, we'll see.
That's the translation.
He attempted a kick in the head.
Yeah, that is the translation from Japanese to Southern.
Reigns,
it's a dadgum kick in the head.
Reigns countered that with a spear that really looked weak, to be honest with you.
It did.
Reigns attempted to eliminate Shinsuke, who then counters and performs a running single leg drop kick on Reigns and then eliminates him to win.
I was shocked.
Yeah. No, I was floored. If you're a betting man and you got Reigns and Shinsuke in there, storyline or not, or whatever you're thinking about, you still think it's going to be Reigns coming out as a winner.
I had picked Reigns to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
Renee Young afterwards interviewed Shinsuke, asked which world championship he's gonna challenge at WrestleMania 34. He does call out WWE champion AJ Styles, thus choosing the WWE championship and staying on SmackDown.
Right. Okay, if you watch the Royal Rumble or if you've been watching Monday Night Raw and SmackDown the last couple of weeks, you've been seeing a promo for the Royal Rumble and you've been hearing a song, and it took me a while to kind of figure out what was going on.
But the song is called King is Born. It's by Aloe Black. Now, they're sampling one of my favorite songs of all time, but it took me a long time to kind of understand what was going on there. I just kept on hearing the song, but when the guy was singing different lyrics, Aloe Black, and he was doing a good job. I really like it. I want you to listen to it, and it's called King is Born. Aloe Black, here on Turnbuckle Trash.
A king is born, I told you before. A king is born.
So now you kind of get the feel for what the song is, right? You hear it. Well, it sampled a 1970s hit by a group called the Ides of March. I'm your vehicle, baby. I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman. By now I'm sure you know that I love you. God, I need you. Need you. I want you, got to have you try. Now this is gonna tie into wrestling before we get into it too far. Because the Ides of March, with their song called Vehicle, which King is Born samples, is written by a guy named Jim Petterick of the band The Ides of March. So how does this tie back into wrestling? Well, here goes. Follow me here. Jim Petterick went on to be the main songwriter for a band named Survivor. You know, Eye of the Tiger. Rocky IV, Hulk Hogan as Thunderlips, wrestling. Jim Petterick wrote that song, Eye of the Tiger. He also wrote Vehicle, which they sampled for King is Born. Yeah, I figured it out, because I are a professional radio announcer.
Great God in heaven, you know I love you.
Now, you texted me while you were at Disneyland, and I got to ask you, you ran into a fellow wrestling fan?
Well, I don't know. I'm just an idiot, Dave. Uh-huh. We were over in Tomorrowland, and we had just gotten off of a ride. I don't remember which ride it was. And we came walking out, and there was a dude standing there with a NWO Wolfpack shirt on.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, dude, nice shirt. And so I was like, too sweet. And so he gave me too sweet, man.
That had to be cool. Your wife's probably looking at you.
My insane. Wife was like, what an idiot.
But it is so cool when you run into fellow wrestling fans, people that you know that enjoy professional wrestling. So
you know, it's my favorite is when they're not afraid to be a wrestling fan. You
ain't
know,
that great?
Out there are so scared to be wrestling fans. It's like, what's the matter with you guys?
Just, you know, it like we said, it's not for everybody, but you know what? I can't stand American Idol. I can't stand Survivor. I cannot watch those shows for the life of me. But it doesn't mean that they're bad. It's just I don't like them. So.
Well, and you know my feelings on it goes as it approaches this Super Bowl time of year and stuff like that. You know, there's always everybody crying foul about the NFL this, the NFL that. And it's like, in my mind, the NFL is as phony as the day is long, as rigged as the day is long. But you know what? At least I know professional wrestling going into it that it's rigged.
And speaking of football,
we had the 25th anniversary of Raw on Monday. Tell me, Dave, go. You got the mic. Go for it.
It was a decent remembrance of 25 years of Raw. Remember I said decent? It was about what I was expecting. It was a bad for the Royal Rumble. You know, I didn't think that. Why they did it this week instead of on January the 11th, which was also a Monday 2 weeks ago. They should have done it right then and then had the going home show this past Monday. It made a lot more sense to me.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon in the ring with his son and daughter, and the crowd's cheering him, and how he gets immediately heel heat, as you know, making fun of Brooklyn. You know, and the crowd was buying into it. They were loving every minute of it. You know that. I did notice, I think it was like the next day, I was reading some reviews of it, and somebody had actually tweeted that it was a horrible thing that Vince did, cutting down Brooklyn the way he did.
Oh, jeez.
Give me a break.
Oh, my gosh.
He did it on purpose. There are still marks out there, dude, you know? People out there that buy into every little thing they do, you know?
I watched the condensed version of Raw when we were sitting in the airport waiting for our flight back from L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, man. I'm a little bit – to condense 3 hours – I mean, don't get me wrong. Raw is way too long. We've talked about this 3-hour thing is multiple times. But Hulu condenses it down to 1.5 hours. And I missed a lot of stuff. Like I guess there was a segment with Mark Henry and The Godfather.
Uh-huh.
I missed that. And they only showed – they showed The Miz versus Roman Reigns match.
Oh, that was a good one. And that was a good match.
And on ESPN promoting Raw 25 earlier that day,
and
I was like, man, he the sexy boy has turned into the old boy.
he's getting a little thin on top, don't you think?
Yeah, he was looking pretty. He was looking like. Like hammered doo-doo, that's for sure.
Hammered doo-doo. Oh, that's going to go on the blooper reel. You know that. So
say it, but you posted a thing on Facebook earlier that I agreed with, that this age and time we live in, that everybody takes everything so serious. It's like, come on, give me a break, you guys. Whatever happened to the days of – I mean, there is absolutely no way – the Attitude Era, if it were to debut tomorrow, it would be shut down, barred up, and caution taped, and
they would
and
be in jail.
Set packing. Yeah.
They would be in jail. I'm enjoying SmackDown a little bit better than Raw right now. And I couldn't say that 2 months ago because I thought SmackDown had some real difficulties for a while, but they've got it back together.
After the roster shakeup and stuff like that, I think it's always hard to get guys to find their new ways, you know.
Well, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin against the Usos.
Okay.
I think it's best 2 out of 3 for the tag team championship. And Shelton Benjamin, holy moly, that guy is incredibly.
He's so good, isn't he?
Oh. And to think he was a roommate in college with Brock Lesnar, of all people. So I thought it was that good.
You know, so that side note then, why isn't Finn, why aren't they pushing the Balor Club, man? Gallows and Anderson are fetching show openers again. I mean.
Well, here's what they're doing with it. I guarantee you. Trying to take a little bit of the steam out of the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club, but that is the hottest selling t-shirt there is the Young Bucks, and they're on ROH. So they are the hottest item in professional wrestling right now, and I would think Vince is saying, you know, we started off with the Balor Club, let's put them back together and try to take some of the heat away from them. I do have my Rusev Day t-shirt.
I know. That's sweet.
Yeah, it is. I've worn it all over town a couple of times, and everybody just looks at me funny.
Because they don't get it, dude.
Yeah, I haven't had one person come up to me and say, Happy Rusev Day yet.
I think on Christmas Day, I text you and said, Merry Rusev Day instead of even Merry Christmas.
I was going around singing during Christmas time going, Oh, Rusev Day, Oh, Rusev Day. You would like Drew Gulak. He plays a straight-laced character. There was a spot where Enzo had actually lost his. So Drew Gulak gets in there and he's reading a script.
And unfortunately, due to a vocal cord injury, don't you hate when that happens? I have a prepared statement on behalf of Mr. Amore. It goes as follows. If you know it, please feel free to say it along with us. His name is Enzo Amore, and he is indeed a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you cannot teach that. Bada boom, realist champion in the room, how are you doing? See, last night Enzo Amore may have lost his voice, but he did not lose the Cruiserweight Championship. No. Unlike Kalisto, he is a bigger letdown than the Green Bay Packers. And as for tonight, team Lucha Lucha, there seems to be only one word to describe you, and we are going to spell it out for you. S-A-W-F.
That was priceless. It was so good.
In the fifth match of the night, it's Brock Lesnar versus Kane and Braun Strowman.
You want me to tell you something?
Hmm.
It was my favorite match of the night. As much as I enjoyed the two Royal Rumbles.
It was a triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship
match. I love that match.
Brock Lesnar does retain his Universal Championship, surprise, surprise, over Kane and Braun Strowman. Thoughts?
Now, Zane finally got to watch the match this morning, and he texted me, and he thought that it made Kane look bad. I disagree. Yeah. I mean, it was part of the storyline to have the three of them in there with with Brock getting the win over Kane, and then Strowman shouting from the ring,
"You haven't beat me. You haven't beat me."
What does that do?
Nothing.
It sets up for really
WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's all it's doing. It kind of just puts those two on a path to WrestleMania.
Once again, it is the road to WrestleMania. Yeah. Everything that happens now leads to WrestleMania.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like Lesnar versus Strowman.
Yeah,
I do.
And of course, with the Jimmy John's on his shorts, it made me want a number three tuna with sprouts from Jimmy. Yeah, I love those. And a number 14, the Italian, with peppers.
Good night, dude. You just listed off two sandwiches.
Remember, I have a foodographic memory.
Entry. Asuka on Raw was told by Stephanie McMahon to take her time, to make a decision on who she wants to go up against.
Okay, because at the very end, in comes Little Miss Bliss, Alexa Bliss, and Charlotte Flair, and they're trying to get her to make a decision right there who she's going to face, and out comes from the back Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey comes out. Now, by the way, that kind of solidifies the rumor that she's becoming a full-time WWE diva. Which is, by the way, really good news and really bad news for UFC, which is already falling apart, at the grim.
Yes, it is.
It is just not holding up together. Ronda Rousey, great ovation getting in there. She gets up there. She points at the WrestleMania thingamajigger, right?
The what?
The thingamajigger.
Okay.
The Wachobies. Oh, no, wait, what?
So that the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah, the sign.
Not thingamajigger.